Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for victory in Jesus. When we hear your word, we build our house on the firm rock, and nothing can tear it down. Praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome this morning to our service. If you have your Bible, find your place in Genesis chapter number 48. Genesis chapter number 48. And I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, Brother Jeff mentioned to you earlier, we'd love for you to give us information about who you are so that we can become better acquainted with you. Genesis chapter 48. So today we finish our time in it's like saying goodbye to a friend for a while, and I'm always somewhat sad, but also happy to have had the opportunity to take this time to look at the book of Genesis. We've been looking at this as a church for 10 months. We've been in the book of Genesis. We've been all the way from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to chapter 50. And so I pray that these words and these times in Genesis have been a blessing to you. We talked about remembering our Creator and what we've learned about the beginning of all things and how God created all things. And then we came into this time of thinking about family secrets. Family matters. Family matters. Beginning next week, there is also there on your seat. We like to give these to you. I like for you to have them. This will tell you where we'll be going next. We'll be talking about not only does the Lord Jesus, not only is he alive, because he lives we face tomorrow, but because he reigns, there are some great promises for all of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ. So we'll move from the book of Revelation, move across to the book of Revelation, and we'll look at some truths together, and Lord willing, in the days ahead until Jesus comes, that's what we'll focus on, and then we'll move on if we have other time. So I hope you'll be with us as you can. I hope you'll sign up also if you're a member of the church and be with us next week. We're inviting our friends from White Bluff to be with us. If they don't have a church home, come join us. Even if you don't have a lot of time, we want a good presence of all the First Baptist over there, and we'll have a wonderful time together. So now we come to Genesis 48. What a wonderful, warm, encouraging chapter we find in Genesis 48. We're looking at the last of days of Jacob before he dies. And we're reminded of these words, the importance of how special days are with those who are dying. We're reminded here of the importance of how God cares about those who are in the last days of life, senior adults. The world, as I mentioned last week, as we looked at the importance of how Joseph honored his father in his old age, we're reminded, though the world is aggravated, just like they are with children. Children are a nuisance. Well, so are old people. No, I'm dead serious about this. They're taking up room and resources, and it'd be better when they can't take care of themselves. This is the world's view. Just eliminate them. We don't need children to be born into the world. Eliminate them and eliminate old people. I'm very serious when I say this to you. But we learn from the Word of God that all of age matters, and from the day of our birth to the day of our death. And as Christians, we ought to honor people, whatever their physical condition. I'm reminded of many in our church these days who are caring for older, their parents in their conditions and their various conditions. And I know that myself. And I know the challenges of that. But we're faithful to our parents to the very end. And we honor them regardless of how we've been treated by them. Genesis, and beginning in chapter 12, actually the whole book is about the family and about family life. But beginning in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham, and then we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob in this extended section in the book of Genesis around Jacob, who becomes Israel, who meets God, and he is changed forever. The liar and the thief and the trickster becomes the prince and the one who prevailed with God and received his great blessing. But now we enter into something very interesting. We find at the end of Jacob's life, he adopts the sons of Joseph. So we have an adoption at the end of his life. So we read together Genesis 48, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis 48, verse number 1. Now it came about after these things that Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is sick." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he took them with him. When it was told to Jacob, "Behold, your son Joseph has come to you," Israel collected his strength and sat up in the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession.'" Now, verse 5 is our focus today. "Now, your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are." Verse number 8. "When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Who are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons whom God has given me here.' So he said, 'Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were so dim from age that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them close to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children as well.' Then Joseph took them from his knees, and Joseph bowed with his face to the ground. Joseph took them both, Ephraim and his right hand toward Israel, left toward Manasseh, with his left hand toward Israel's right, and he brought them close to him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for holy history. We thank you for the wonderful words of the Word of God, these holy words, these holy stories, which are the truth and reminder of us of your purposes, how they're accomplished in the world, coming toward Messiah, that the Messiah would come from Israel, from Abraham. And all of these experiences of the sons of Abraham point toward the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we come to the table today to honor. We pray, Lord, that today, as we think about family life and as we think about our condition, some of us are parents in here, some of us are grandparents in here, great-grandparents. Some of us are children, not yet married, but we pray that, Lord, you would help us all to see the importance of living and honoring our father and mother, and then blessing our children and our grandchildren and adopting them, our grandchildren and others, as our own. Thank you for our families in our church who are willing to adopt children who do not belong to them by birth. What a blessing. Thank you for those in our church who were adopted children and how they come to honor the Lord Jesus in their life and know what grace is and love because they've experienced it through an adopted family. So now open our eyes to the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our focal truth today is this, that Jacob lovingly adopted Joseph's sons in Egypt. I take you back to verse 5. "Your sons are mine. Your sons are mine." You see, there's a wonderful thing happening here at the end of life. In fact, we're privileged to this secret, if you want to call it that, a secret conversation. This was a private conversation. That's why I call it family secret. This family secret took place, and then from this family conversation, we discover that Manasseh and Ephraim come to be the final tribes of the children of Israel. There were 12. Nothing is more humbling and nothing is more heartwarming and saving, in a sense, than children who've been adopted by families. And some in our church are experiencing that blessing of adopting children, and those children have been changed forever because of that care. I encourage those of you in our church who have the ability to do so, that you consider adoption. What a wonderful thing it is. What a Christian, godly thing it is to do. God blesses the sons of Joseph to become great tribes in the nation of Israel and to accomplish God's purposes. We have here prophecy taking place in this story. Jacob practices prophecy. And beyond that, he also is a pattern and example for all of us who will have grandchildren on how we're to treat them in our family. The relationship between children and grandchildren is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm privileged to be one of those who is a grandparent, and what a joy it is. And for others of you here, it has not happened in your life yet, but you will be blessed by it immensely and richly in the days ahead. I have three observations I'd like for us to look at briefly before we come to the table of the Lord. Number one, Jacob lovingly accepted Joseph's sons as his own sons. Secondly, Jacob blessed Joseph's sons as his own sons. Notice he accepts them, lovingly accepts them, but then he blesses them. And finally, Joseph's sons of exile. Joseph thought, well, I have to start a new family here. All of my brothers have forsaken me and I'll never see my father again. And lo and behold, he names his children, as we'll talk about in a moment, these sons in such a way to remember his pain and his exile and his separation from his family. But lo and behold, those exiled sons become the promised sons of blessing, a part of the tribes of Israel through whom Messiah, the Lord Jesus, will come to the world. And here we are on this side of the cross and resurrection and ascension, waiting for the Lord Jesus to come again. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So first of all, Jacob lovingly accepted Joseph's sons as his own sons. We'll just go through the book of the chapter together for a moment, and then we'll move along. First of all, notice again, verse 5, now your two sons who were born to you. This was a shock, I'm sure, to Joseph. This is the first meeting, and this is the first experience now Jacob has of meeting his sons' sons. And so he brings them to him, and he says, before he even gives them the blessing, he lovingly says to his own son, well, your sons are my sons. There's a very real sense that all of my grandchildren, I have three and I'm thankful for each one of them, two boys and a girl. Well, now I have two more sons. I had one son and one daughter. Now I have four sons and I have two daughters. And I'm happy to have it that way. I tell my children all the time, yours are mine. They belong to me. I'm selfish. So now I will do to these like I want to do because I am the grandparent. What a blessing it is, how rich it is. Your life has been extended through your grandchildren. Oh, you should never moan and complain about that. You should thank God and get on your knees if you've been richly blessed in this room with grandchildren. Jacob lovingly accepted Joseph's sons, regardless of how you received those children, regardless of how they came into your life. You see, Joseph lovingly accepts Joseph's sons as his own. He lives by faith. He reminds Joseph that God promised him a great blessing through his family. Verse 4, behold, God said, I will make you fruitful and numerous, and I will make you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession. He's been promised the land, a promise, by the way, that stands to this day. There's not been a revoking of the promise of God for Israel to the land that God promised them. That didn't change when the church came into being. Israel is still Israel, with promises made to them, permanent promises, and the church is the church, with promises made to the church. Don't confuse them, don't mingle them. The reality is that these promises were made, and so Jacob reminds Joseph of these, and his sons will play in to the blessing of the blessing through their seed. All the nations will be blessed. The Lord Jesus will come. The tribes of Israel matter, and all of their history that now will come after in the beyond the book of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. And then we have these amazing words that we're reminded of again here today of by faith he adopts the sons of Joseph. He'll be gone, but they will move on in history to do very important things as a part of the 12 tribes. Manasseh is the first. Manasseh, the firstborn to Joseph. The name he gave him was the name in his exile, in his pain, and yet in his faith, Joseph names his firstborn Manasseh. God has made me forget my family. That's what Manasseh meant. God has made me, I've now been blessed with children. You know, when children are born into your family and into your life, it makes you forget a lot of the things from the past. It gives you a new start. That's why I always love what Paul said, that women are saved through childbirth. There are some very real truths to that, that life is changed forever in a family when children come. God has made me forget my family, but now this Manasseh, belonging and adopted to Jacob, becomes a son of Jacob and the father of a tribe of Israel. Did you know? Gideon is from the tribe of Manasseh. Ephraim, he names his second born, Joseph does. God has made me fruitful in the land of affliction. Manasseh, God has made me forget. And Ephraim, God has made me fruitful, has blessed me even in the pain of my harsh treatment from my family. And now this wonderful Ephraim, this son, he is now adopted by Jacob. He now becomes a son of Jacob and the father of a great tribe of Israel. In fact, one of the greatest of the tribes, more numerous than most. And did you know that Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim? What a wonderful thing it is, the one who would lead them into the promised land. Jacob loved the sons of Joseph whom he had never seen. Look at these sweet words, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim, he could barely see them. Now then Joseph brought them close, and so he brought them close, and what does he do? He kisses these boys. He kisses them and embraces them. Israel says to Joseph, I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children as well. Every time I'm speaking now to those of you who have children and grandchildren, every time you look at your children, thank God. Every time you see them, thank God. They are a gift from God. Regardless of their behavior, regardless of how they're acting at any one season. By the way, there were times when you didn't act very good yourself. Remember that. When you look at your children, don't despise them. Don't let them know you don't appreciate and love them. You see, he saw these are half Egyptian children. These are half Egyptian boys. He kisses them and embraces them. There is touch, there is warmth, there is care, there are words of blessing that now comes. Number two, Jacob blesses the sons as his own. There's no greater achievement than seeing and being with your grandchildren. The book of Proverbs tells us grandchildren are the crown of old men. God gives a special blessing to the old through their grandchildren that he gives them. And every grandchild is a unique creation of God. Your chance to be with them is a wonderful thing. You should always be sad when they leave you. You should not be glad when they're gone. You should be sad when they're gone. It doesn't matter if they tear your house up. What good is it for anyway? You have all of that stuff in your house and it's like a museum. Let them come in there and live in that house. Let them experience all that it is. Soak up the time with your grandchildren, because one day they'll be too smart and they won't have time for their grandparents. Enjoy it while you can, every day of it. And this is what Jacob did. He blessed these boys. He brought them near, and look at this wonderful blessing. It is the blessing of Joseph and the blessing of his sons all at the same time. Verse 15, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. There's it. Bless these two boys. And may my name live on in them and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So they come near and Joseph has set them in order. On the right hand of Jacob, the blessing would be put on Manasseh, the firstborn. And on the left hand, he stands in front of Jacob and the blessing would be put on the younger boy, Ephraim. But you see, God blesses the sons of Joseph with the family blessing based on the way he had been blessed by his father, Isaac. The family blessing now goes on, but what happens? There is a crossing of the hands. Jacob, though he was old, he prophetically crosses his hands, and his right hand crossed is on the head of the younger Ephraim. And his left hand crossed is on the head of the firstborn. He reverses the blessing of the firstborn. He gives the blessing of the firstborn to the secondborn. This has been the way all the way through the book of Genesis. This was true in the life of Jacob. This was true in the life of his father. You see, this is an act of grace. This is the way God does his work. He does his work in the lives of people in ways that would surprise us. When Israel put his hands this way, when Jacob put his hands this way, verse 18, Joseph tries to help his father. He tries to move his hands, and Joseph says, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Place your right hand on his head." Joseph tries to help his father. He thinks who cannot see and know who he's to bless. But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also will become a people and he will also be great. However, this younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." And notice verse 20, he blessed them that day and he said, "By you sons, by you boys, Israel will pronounce blessings." Israel will say these words in the future. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. You see, this was the blessing that came from Jacob on these boys. Jacob's act of blessing finalized the tribes of Israel for all of this holy history that moves along through the Old Testament. But I remind you of this today. This blessing is something that we must do as parents and grandparents. I truly ask you this. You see, it takes time to do this, but every one of your children deserve. You know how you put a mark on your child? You know how you put a mark on their heart? By giving them a blessing. Yes, they need correction. Yes, they need direction. Yes, they need guidance. Yes, they need your opinions. Yes, they need your help, but more than anything, they need your blessing. This is important for each of them to know. You see, there were times when the blessing was given. You know, the blessing came on Jacob, but Jacob was in a bad shape in his life. He was living as a conniver and a schemer to get everything he could and to beat his brother in every way. But the blessing came. I hope that all of you who have children are making or have done this when they're old enough to understand it. They know that you have spoken to them a blessing, that you take time for each of your children and your grandchildren, that you don't just take them as a group, but take them individually and speak to them blessing. This is the teaching. This is what we learn so much about the importance of family blessing from the book of Genesis. This is a very Christian thing to do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Everything you have as a believer, the blessing of God the Father has come upon you. And it's a very Christian thing to do, and it's something that ought to be done in a very significant way. When they achieve certain things in their life, your children and grandchildren, it's more than just going to their events. It's speaking to them about who they are and what you see that they will become in their lives. It is your decision to tell them about Jesus unapologetically, lead them to know the Lord and what it means to follow God, because you pray, because you study the Word of God, because your life is a life of holiness. You're not caught up in the world's ways. You live in separation from those things and you serve God. You see, Joseph's sons of exile became the promised sons of blessing. And in doing that, they were now brought into the family of those who were blessed by God. When you've been blessed by God, make sure you tell your children how you have been blessed. You know what happened in the book of Judges? The book of Judges comes to be a time where this generation grows up and they do what's right in their own eyes. But do you know what was happening before that generation came along? Their fathers and mothers and grandparents stopped telling them of the great blessings of God that had happened in the nation of Israel. Now they live in the land. Now they have their own plots. Now they have their own portions. And the book of Judges is an absolute disaster where chaos breaks out because children did not know, nor did they understand, the power of God that had worked in the past in their nation and in their families. If you neglect to tell your children how God has worked in your life, how can you be surprised if your children walk away from God? This is our task all the days of our life. Children are blessed by their grandparents, and that blessing from grandparents carries a special place of significance. It's one thing to be blessed by your parents. It's another thing to be blessed by your grandparents. I'm talking about verbal words, words of affirmation, words of love, words of acceptance, words of kindness. This is the task of every Christian grandparent who hears my voice today, and I include myself in that responsibility. I ask you today, have you blessed your children? Have you blessed your grandchildren? Well, Pastor Mike, we're busy. We have a lot of things going on, and I try to go to some of their things. I didn't ask you about your attendance at their things. I ask you about your words to your children and grandchildren. When they come to the house, nothing's more important than focusing on them. Turn off the television, get off of your computer, set your phone down and begin to look into the faces, take them on a ride. If you like to do it like I do, take them to your favorite place, Dairy Queen, and eat some ice cream with them. Take them to the park, get out of your house and walk around and show them the beauty of creation. Spend time with your children and your grandchildren. Go out and throw the ball. When you get older, I understand it gets hard to chase them down. But it's important for them to know that you are giving them your undivided attention. One of my children says, well, you just spoil them when they're around you. Yes, and I'm going to do that all I want. And you can just get over it. Love your children and bless your grandchildren. What do we remember today? Jacob's adoption of Joseph's sons was a prophetic blessing for the nation of Israel. We will be ever seeing, when you read the rest of your Old Testament, when you read about the children of Israel and you read about the tribes, remember there's a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a genealogy that runs of that beautiful scarlet thread all the way through the promised one coming through these generations of the nation of Israel. Don't count families as not important to the spread of the gospel. I said this at the beginning of the series. The gospel is advanced through the families of God's people. Spend time on this priority. It's more important than your job. It's more important than your own desires for your free time. Spend time bringing your children up in the instruction and truth of God's word. You'll never regret it. They'll remember it. If they walk away, they'll remember it. It's planted there. And at the right time, in the right circumstances, God will bring it back to their mind. They might be a long way away from you. They may be somewhere else doing whatever they want secretly and you don't even know. But those seeds are planted. God knows where they are. You're trusting God, and the Holy Spirit will do His work. Adoption extends the family blessing to those who need a family. You see, this is why I continue to appeal to you. We have many in our church, and for you to appeal to even your own children, those of you who are older like me, who we come to a time where we know adoption would be hard. We must encourage our families and our children to adopt. And there are those who need desperately to be adopted. It was interesting to me a year ago when we talked, and in May we'll talk about Foster Awareness Month again, and we'll be thinking about that again, and the Lord's done some wonderful things, and many of you have many things in our church we're doing now around that, and we'll talk about it. But we've also had people step forward and begin to say, we're planning to adopt. Hallelujah, that's a wonderful thing. I remember the director of child services for our region saying, the hardest thing sometimes is to find people who will adopt teenagers, quote, but they become some of the best adopted children of all. So think about it today and pray about it in your life and in your family. Talk about it with your family about adoption. And adopted children, what a blessing to be adopted by family who cares about you, loves you, and provides for you. Adoption teaches us the great grace of God in our adoption. I stand here as one adopted by God, and you too, who are believers. You've been adopted into the family of God. You didn't deserve it. There's only one true Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we get to call Him our brother in a way. Isn't that amazing? We are now children of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. What is that great love? What is that great love that's been bestowed upon us? John says to believers, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. Listen, that we should be called and accepted and loved as children of God. That's who you are. You're a child of God. What can go wrong when you're a child of God? What can go wrong when you belong to the one who provides? What can go wrong when you belong to the one who guides and blesses and helps us through all of our circumstances? This is what we do. God is glorified through our families when we honor the Lord Jesus Christ and we open, here we are at the table of the Lord, we open our tables to whomever comes our way. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord Jesus is near to the door. May God help the families of our church. May God help the families within the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ globally to be a light in their families, be a light in the darkness, so that when people see their families, they see a difference. They see those who follow and love the Lord with all of their heart and with all their soul.